so that we can kind of get started, and then maybe we'll ask the Lord for help. So someone, preferably up front, okay, what hymn would you like to sing?
Number 8.
Number 8. Begin with number 8. Maybe someone could start that for us. Why don't we, before we come to the next song, just ask the Lord Jesus and ask pause for another 10 minutes or so, and maybe we'll get a chance to sing a little bit later on. I think everybody knows that the first...
We are.
One more hymn together before we go on. All right, there are a couple boys who've had a chance and one girl, so let's make it even.
46.
Somebody up front. What do you usually do at home in Sunday school after you sing a few songs? At least that's the way it's been a couple places I've lived. What do you usually do after you've sung some songs? Okay. What do you usually do?
Usually say a verse.
Why would you learn a verse?
What
I asked him was, why would you learn a verse? Why would you learn a verse and then say a verse? Not sure. Somebody else who's kind of sure, you're pretty sure at least, you don't have to be positive, but one reason for learning a verse and wanting to say it. All right.
Memorize it so you can remember it when you're older.
Why would you want to do that? I think maybe some of you know, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but maybe one other person that can give us a description. Memorize it. That's something added, extra. We want to know it later on. That's certainly true. It's good to have the Word of God in our minds so that we can think on it later on. But why would it be good to memorize a verse? If that's what you usually do, it'd be good to know why we would do something like that. Somebody else, one other volunteer that you think you can tell why you learn a verse. Well, maybe that's a question then that we need to answer this morning. By the time we're done, I'm going to ask again, and I'm going to see if some of you have learned the answer to that question. I think some of you know, maybe you're just a little bit shy. Okay? Is there anyone, maybe take a couple, because we certainly don't have time for everyone, that have learned a verse that you would like to say it so that everyone else can hear? Maybe you learned the verse on the Sunday school paper or a different verse, and you'd like to say it this morning. Or did you know that this week it was conference and you wouldn't have to? Is there anyone that your mom or dad helped you and you'd like to say a verse this morning? Okay. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. I don't want to embarrass you. But who knows the verse John 14:6 anyway? That's the one that was on the Sunday school paper. And we're going to consider it together so we would know why it was important to learn. Does anyone happen to know John 14:6? It starts... Okay, there we go. Good. You want to say it into this? You want to? Would you like to say it to me and I'll just listen? No. You want to say it to Grandma? Very good. The rest of you couldn't hear it, but I know I could, and I know the Lord Jesus could, and maybe Grandma or Grandpa or somebody up close could hear. That verse was, Jesus saith unto him, I don't think she said that part, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many of you have learned that verse before? You think you remember that? You've heard it before. Because you've heard it before, does that mean that you know what it means, what it says? You know what that means to you, or what God was intending to mean when he put those words down by the Apostle John? Does anybody think you know at least a little bit of what that means? Lots of you raised your hands. You've learned that verse before, but what does it mean? Can you tell me a little bit of what it means? You mind doing that, or you want to tell just me? Okay. Okay, go ahead and tell just me, and then I'll repeat it. Okay. He said that the Lord, or the Lord Jesus, is the only way to get to heaven. Does that sound right? Does that sound right? How many people would think that sounds like that's true? The Lord Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. I think that's certainly true, and I want to illustrate it this morning in a couple different ways. So we're going to think about the verse, and there's also a couple other things along with it. But first of all, I think it's very important to answer a question. Because this question, I think, is very important to understand. Before we understand how we're going to get to heaven, that's very, very important through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think he answered it very well. The Lord Jesus is the way to heaven. But who can tell me why everyone here couldn't get to heaven if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why can't we get to heaven if it's not through the Lord Jesus Christ? What's the problem? What's going to keep you, or what would keep me, out of heaven? Where the Lord Jesus is and where God the Father is. I see one hand, but I know there's a lot more. And in the business that I do, I'm told usually to wait for lots of hands when it's an easy question, because that just means that people aren't listening, I think. All right, because I think a lot of you know the answer to that question. So I'm going to wait a little bit more, because I only see two hands that know what's going to keep you or me if we don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ out of heaven. I think that's an easy question. I think, there's a lot more now that I think you do know that answer to that question. Now, of those of you with your hands up, who wants to say the answer so that everyone can hear it? That's a little bit different. All right, that's a little bit different. You want to say it so that everyone can hear it? Is that okay? All right. What might keep us out of the Lord Jesus' presence?
Sin.
Good. Sin is, you know what sin does? Sin brings death, and death is a separation. And it means when there's spiritual death for Adam and Eve in the garden, the Lord Jesus said, God said to them, the day that they sinned, they would die. And so when they sinned, there was something that separated them from God. And we may have a chance, I'd like to look at that just a little bit, but there was something that separated. Now, I need somebody to tell me what sin is. I think that's a little bit more difficult. You could give me an example of sin, though, if you can't tell me what sin is. Can anybody give me an example of sin, or a sin? Because that might help us to understand. Shirley?
When you're naughty.
When you're naughty. I think that's almost the definition of sin, when you're naughty. Because when we sin, we're being disobedient to God. We're being disobedient. Now, I have something, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I know they're sitting in one of these chairs this morning. And I saw an example yesterday. But I want first, is murder a sin? Is murder a sin? How many think murder is a sin? I think we would all agree there very quickly. How many of, well, I'm not going to ask that. I don't think there's anybody in here that's actually physically killed somebody else. How many of you have gotten angry and hit your brother or sister? Now, if you'd hit them hard enough with the wrong thing, that could have killed them. And what was coming out of your heart was the same kind of thing, being angry with them. Is throwing a styrofoam cup in a lake a sin? You think throwing a styrofoam cup in a lake is a sin? Well, it kind of depends. What if you were told not to throw a styrofoam cup in a lake? Did anybody here get told yesterday or Friday not to throw a styrofoam cup or anything, any kind of garbage into a lake? How many of you were told that? You remember being told? Some of you may not remember. Some of you may have just not listened to Uncle Ernie when he said that because you were thinking about something else, and announcements are for big people, and your mom or dad didn't pass that along. But how many of you knew that you weren't supposed to throw something styrofoam into the lake? Now, I'm not going to use the name this morning because that way some of you, or more than one of you, may not know but who it was that I was thinking of. But there were some people yesterday, and it was something very simple. It's very easy. How easy, is it easy to throw a styrofoam cup into a lake? How many of you think you could do that? All right? I think just about every one of us could throw a cup into a lake. It's very easy to do, but it was disobedience because it was forbidden. But boy, it looked kind of fun. I love to study things, and I like throwing sticks into a rushing stream and dropping it in on one side of the bridge, and then I pull out my stopwatch, and I time how long it takes to the other side, and I estimate how wide it is because I want to know how fast that stream's going. And I like to do that, and I've always liked to do it. I saw some of you putting some branches there at the back of that lake over there by the lunchroom, and you were blocking up that lake not to let... It's fun, all right? It's fun to throw things into a lake. And it's kind of exciting, too, to watch that the water's rushing down, and you want to see how far it'll go. And if you drop two in at the same time, and you get to see whose gets there first, especially if you mark one, and you see who gets to the other side first, and one person's kind of gets caught on the weeds, and that's why they don't want you to do it, because that leaves a lot of garbage in the lake, and it doesn't look nice. But do you think this person yesterday knew that what they were doing was wrong? Maybe they didn't hear. Maybe they didn't hear, and maybe their mom and dad didn't tell them. Do you think that was true, Jimmy?
That's true.
He nodded his head, yes. He thought that was true. Maybe they didn't hear. And that would be nice to think. Maybe they didn't hear, except that when I was watching, and you just think if you've done this before. When I was watching, this person had seen some of maybe his friends, I don't know, over there on the other side, and they were throwing cups in the lake, and they were having a lot of fun, and it sure looked fun, and he knew he wasn't supposed to do it. And the way I think I know is he was standing right there in front of it. There are a lot of people behind him, and he wasn't thinking about them. He looked quick to the left. He looked quick to the right, and he threw it in, and he grabbed his arm back. Okay? Have you ever done something like that? You knew it was wrong when you went to do it. You knew that it was disobedience, what God calls sin, but nobody was looking, and it looked like fun, and so you did it anyway. Have any of you ever done something like that? That's willful disobedience. But you know, I think that probably, if we're honest, everybody in this room has done something that we knew was wrong. And when we went to do it, we even thought ahead of time, let me see, am I going to get caught? Let me check over this way. Let me check that way to make sure nobody's looking. And then let me do it. Okay? Now, he had something called, this person, a conscience. And someone behind him called his name, kind of shook their head at him. And I think he felt pretty bad because he knew what he did was wrong. So he ran down there and he reached out and he pulled it out of the lake and he came up and he kind of waved it a little sheepishly so they'd know it was out of the lake. And then he went and I think he threw it away. Okay? Is that a right thing to do? Pick it up back out? I think that was the right thing to do. Now, let me ask this question. would something just as simple as that, just one little act of disobedience like that, one little thing, Mom says, I only want you to have, I use this illustration often because it really applied to me and it might to you. In our house, there was a rule. In our house, we had some rules that we were to follow. And one of them was that at dinner time, we were supposed to have only two cookies at dessert time. Does anyone have a rule like that in your house? Mom or Dad says, you can have one, or you can have two, or I only want you to have one piece of cake tonight, something like that. Well, they usually say that for, I think probably most houses have some rule like that. Maybe on a special occasion you wouldn't. We were only allowed to have two. Well, there were a lot of times that I found, if Mom or Dad weren't looking, and two of them were stuck together, I would count that as one. All right? But that shows that inside me, in my heart, I knew that was wrong. I was being deceitful. And that's just, it's kind of like a form of lying, or you could think of it as a form of stealing, too. Those are things that are wrong, and we all know that we've done them. Let's look real quickly at the chapter right before John 14. There's something that I want to, and if you have a Bible up front and you'd like to read a verse or two for me, that would be very nice, but if you don't, certainly not required to. Those things are very simple, but they're all things that I think show that we're sinners. Do you think God knows that we're sinners? Yeah, I think so. We're going to need to look at this quickly, I think. But in John chapter 13, I think in maybe a simple way, that in John 13 it shows there's some things in there that show that God, the Lord Jesus, knows what every person is like. And he wants you to have just a little bit of a sense that you are, it's used in a different way there, but I think we can apply it, that you are dirty with sin and you need, and I need, to be cleaned up. Otherwise we can't enjoy. And in the 14th chapter, it shows us something, and that's the verse we're going to look at real soon now, something the Lord Jesus didn't know just what you were like sitting on the front row in a nice striped shirt. And you were like in a nice clear shirt. And, oh, I can tell that easily. I can look at you. I can see a nice green shirt over here and a nice blue dress that's been very carefully. I don't see any wrinkles. And got a shirt out this morning and saw one that needed all kinds of wrinkles. And it looks like just about everyone got all those. I can see those outside things. But the Lord Jesus wants you to know what you're like on the inside too, and that it's not acceptable, for he wants to show you something, and in the next chapter we'll look at it. He wants to show you what his house and what his father are like, and you need to be clean before that. Let's just read one or two verses, since our time's slipping away. In chapter 13, let's just look at one. Verse 27. Who would like to read John chapter 13 and verse 27 for us? Would you like to do that? Yeah? Okay. Read that nice and loud so everyone can hear it.
And after the thought, Satan entered unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou didst do quickly.
Okay. I think that you can see from the verse, if we had time to stop and think about it, that the Lord Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. You know, I feel kind of bad. Some of you, I recognize your faces, but I don't know your names. I couldn't even call you by your name. I can tell you what you're wearing, but that doesn't tell you much about you. And not only those of you I know by name, a lot of you, I couldn't predict what you were going to do in a certain situation. And I certainly couldn't tell you what's going to happen in the future other than what the Lord Jesus has told me in the Bible. But the Lord Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, and he knew what Judas was like, and he knows just what you're like. If you can turn to it, turn to John chapter 14, verse 6, the verse that was quoted earlier so nicely. It says, Jesus saith unto him. Lord Jesus knew who he was talking to, right? I've kind of ashamed. I don't know everyone's names. I only know a few. But Jesus knew exactly who he was talking to, right? Does the Lord Jesus know your name? Yeah, he sure does. You mind telling me what your name is? You don't have to say it for everybody. What's your name? Pardon? Okay, thank you. All right. He said his name was, so now I know what his name is, and I could repeat it again. I now will remember it for a while at least. But the Lord Jesus, without having to ask any one of you, knows everything about you. He knows you perfectly. Does he love you anyway? Does he love me anyway? Yeah, he sure does. He loves us perfectly. I need 3 volunteers to help me with something. You're going to have to stand. It's not very fun kind of work, and I don't have any reward for it, but if you'd like to hold it for everyone else, just a couple signs so that everyone else can see them. All right, Charlene, if you'd help me, that'd be nice. You're going to have to stand here for a little while. But if you could hold this one up for us. Hold that one up. And if you don't mind standing right over there, right back there, holding that up for everyone, I'd appreciate that. Okay, that says the way, and I know it's a little bit low there for everyone. Do you mind standing on the stage? Think you could do that? No? All right. I won't make you stand on the stage. All right? That way everyone can see it a little better. But where you are is fine. It says the way, and then below it, it says to the Father's house. You know, when I got here this morning, we use that word way a couple ways. At least a couple different ways we use that word. Does anybody know how you would use the word way? How do you think I got here all the way out to Walla Walla from where I live near Chicago? How do you think I got here? How did I get here? With the map. That was one of the ways that I got here. I pulled out a map, and on this map there's all kinds of things marked on this map. No, it works, right? Because I'm here. We got here. That's one way that we use that word. How many of you have ever pulled out a map in order to get to Walla Walla, the Bible meetings or the conference in Walla Walla? How many of you have ever pulled out a map, studied it, and that's the way you got here? I see some adults with their hands up. How many of you up front have pulled out a map and that's the way you got to Walla Walla? Okay, well good. Some of you read maps a lot earlier than I would. But, how did you get to Walla Walla? Does somebody want to tell me how you got to Walla Walla? All right, Alvar, how did you get to Walla Walla?
By a map.
Okay, maybe you did, or maybe your mom or dad used one. But what's another? How did you get to Walla? Maybe not pulling a map, maybe thinking of it a little differently.
By car?
By a car. And I don't think anyone up front drove, although you may have gotten a chance to help drive. But you had a way to get to Walla Walla, the way you said was a car, right? Some people I know came in a van. And I remember being in their van, they had all kinds of stuff along with them. They came in a van. But you needed somebody to bring you to Walla Walla. It was a person that brought you there, wasn't it? For almost all of you in the front. Wasn't it a person that brought you to Walla Walla? Maybe mom or maybe dad? That's your way home. If you want to get back, you have a way home. It's by mom or dad. How about to heaven? You have to pull out a map? Sometimes people use an analogy, and it's true. In the Bible, it tells us how we can be saved. But what's our way to heaven? How do we get to heaven? Who's coming? It says it earlier. Who's coming to pick you up and take you to heaven? With himself. What's your way to the Father's house? Knows it perfectly. That's where he's going to come from. That's where he's right now. What's your way to heaven? If you're going to go to heaven, there's only one way, and it's a person. Who is it?
Jesus.
It's the Lord Jesus. Charlene, would you turn that around now so you can turn around the other way so you can see it on the other side? I want you to hold it right there. There's a way to heaven, and it's a person. Just like you got here, somebody had to pick you up, had to put you in a car, and you got to come with a person. That was your way here. The Lord Jesus is the way to heaven. Now, I have something a little bit later on that I'd like to give, and I only have one. I don't have lots of them. I wish I did. I'd like to give one to everyone here, but I only have one. All right? Do you think I know the way to get that thing for you? I don't have it right up here. It's not up front. It's somewhere else in the room. Do you think I know the way to get it? How many think I know the way to get it? Probably everyone in here thinks I know the way to get it. All right? I know the way to get that thing for you, but how many of you really believe that I have something that I'd like to give away? How many of you really believe I have something? I would very much like to give it to you. How many of you think you know enough about me to trust me? Okay, a few of you do, because maybe you have the hope that you're going to get this thing, and usually in Sunday school, the illustrations, they don't usually not give what they promise. Right? You kind of trust me. I had to trust the person that I gave it to. His wife thought that, how did I know that I could trust him? But I'm sure that I can. All right? And I'm sure that she knows that I can too. But I gave it to that person, and they're keeping it for me, but you have to believe that I know that it's there. How many of you believe that if I were to give you, and I don't know how much it costs, 50 cents or something like that, 75, I don't know, that you could go over there and buy a pop? Well, you have faith, you believe that you could, but maybe they're all out, or maybe they're all out of the kind. You have to trust, you have to believe. It says the next thing in the verse, it says something about someone, the Lord Jesus, and what did it say? I'm the way, and a lot of you said you knew the verse. What comes next? What comes next? The truth is the next part, and we'll come to the other one in just a minute. The truth is the next. The Lord Jesus, and it's so much more than anything we could explain in a couple minutes with a simple illustration, but would someone like to hold this up just so we could look at it? Okay, right on the end there, if you'd like to come. Okay, you can come on up. And hold this up if you want to stand next to Charlene, and hold that up so everyone can see. It's a lot more than just what's written here, I think, but if you could hold this just here for us like this, I would appreciate that. Thank you. It says the truth, and on the bottom I wrote about the Father. Certainly lots more. God is certainly true. But the Lord Jesus, you read the next part, He wanted them to know what the Father was like. And in another place in the Word of God, and I don't think we have time to turn to it, but it says, maybe we should, in John chapter 8, if you want to turn there quickly, I'm just going to turn and read it. I believe that's where it is. It says, John 8, I'm going to read just a couple verses for you. It says in verse 25, Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. How many of you think you could say, Everything I say about myself or that I've ever said about myself is true? And you can count on it, and you know it's true, and if I say that I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock, I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock. Everything I've ever said is true. How many people think you could say something like that? Everything that you said about yourself is true? There's a couple. How many of you know that you couldn't say that about yourself? You're confident you couldn't say that about yourself. I think so. You know, I could even say something simple. I could say that I'm a teacher. But you know, some of my students at school, they would say, well, that's just a word. And I sure didn't learn anything in the class this year. And some of them do. They say, you say you're a teacher, but you're sure not a perfect teacher. The Lord Jesus said everything about that He said about Himself, that He said about the Father is true. You've trusted me that I've got something for you somewhere in the room. But that's, and I think you're going to find that it's true what I said there, but I can't say everything about me is true. The Lord Jesus is one that you can trust absolutely perfectly. How many of you now believe that I have something I'd like to give away? There's just one qualification. I want to take you to, we'll pretend it's my house, since my house is a long way away. I want to take you to my house. There's something very special there, and I'm going to carry the person over there to get it. I'm happy to take you. I could be the way to get this gift, just like the Lord Jesus is the way. Who's the truth? Do you want to turn it around? Says the Lord Jesus there in the back. The Lord Jesus is the truth. You might believe what I have to say. There's just one thing. I only let, and we'll pretend this place is my house, I only let people into that house who... Would someone like to hold up one last sign? Okay. If you can hold up that sign for us, stand right there. It says the life might be much more to it than this, but I put on the bottom of the Father's family. You know, I'm only going to allow someone into this house. I'm only going to allow someone to have this gift who is one of my sons or daughters. How many of you think you qualify? If you're my son or you're my daughter, you can have this gift and you can come to my house. All right? If that's true, I'll let you in. But you have to belong to my family. You have to have a life that I will allow into my house. How many of you think you're my son or my daughter? How many? I think you know, so a few of you know, that I don't have any sons or daughters. But I'd still like to give this away. Is there any way I could do it? I have an honorary for one day, just for one illustration, birth certificate. And I'd like to give it to one person, but you know, none of you qualify to come to my house. None of you qualify for this gift because I've said it, how you have to be my son or my daughter to get this gift, and none of you qualifies. So I'm going to pick somebody who helped me earlier. It doesn't even have to, maybe I won't even make it that because I don't want to have any conditions. I get to choose who I want to give this gift to. So I'm going to choose somebody that I don't really know, and if you'll trust me and tell me your name, I'll give you the gift. Okay. Can you tell me your name? Don't want to tell me your name? I have to fill out the birth certificate. Okay, that's fine. You don't need to. But I can't give this away unless you're willing to trust me with your name. I won't give this away. So I'll give you... Will you give me your name? What's your name? Nina. You want to give me your last name even though I think I know it, Nina? Nina Newby. So now it says, Nina Newby was born into the Rule family on the Lord's Day, June 18th, 1994, at the Walla Walla Community College. Right? Just for one day, just for one illustration, Nina is now part of my family because I chose her to be. And I'm going to take her, and she was willing to tell me her name. All right? That was necessary. I'm going to take Nina to my house because I'm the way, and she believes me. She's willing to trust me. I'll take her by my hand. I'm going to take her right over to where I have something for Nina. She's kept it. Trusted him, and he kept it. That's for you, Nina. All right? And this is something that I think Nina is going to enjoy. What is it, Nina? Can you tell us what that is? You see what that is, Nina? You want to pull it out of the bag? What is it, Nina?
I don't know.
I think you'll enjoy it anyway, even if you don't know what it is. Okay, want to sit down? Nina doesn't, not really sure what that is. I think she'll enjoy it though. The large, okay. I think Nina's going to enjoy that. But you know that's a gift, and the Lord Jesus Christ, He wants you to be part of His family. You want to turn that around for us? Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you know, if you read the rest of the chapter, you're going to find that there are many wonderful things the Lord Jesus wanted to tell them about the Father. God the Father wanted to be their Father. But you know, you have to accept that offer. You realize that you're a sinner, and I think we all do realize that we're sinners. You realize that there's something, the Lord Jesus is the way to heaven, as we were told before. He's the one that can take you there. But if you're going to be there, you have to have a life that will be allowed in heaven. And so you just need to thank the Lord Jesus when He says, and you know, Nina didn't know for sure, I think maybe she did, what that was. Some of you that are maybe a little bit older, you had big eyes there kind of wishing that you had gotten chosen for that. You know, there's no one in here that can't ask the Lord Jesus to be their Savior. I only had one of those. Only had one to give away. The Lord Jesus says, every single person here who wants to can accept me on the way to the Father's house. And I want to take you there. But you know, Nina didn't know much about that, and I think she's going to find out soon. And maybe some brothers and sisters or friends or mom or dad will find out too what that's like. And we don't have to know everything about what the heaven's like or what the Father's like, but the Lord Jesus wants you, as you get a little bit older, to learn more about His Father. You get to know more about the Father, and you can really enjoy His house. All right? Well, she'll enjoy. That's just a very poor illustration of something very nice. At my house, there's something far nicer at God's house. And He wants you to enjoy it with Him. He wants you to be part of His family, to trust in Him, and to be there with Him to enjoy His Father's house that He's told you everything true about forever. Can anyone tell me, I know we're a little bit over, but can anyone tell me why we would want to learn a verse like this? Why would you want to learn a verse like the Lord Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life? You know, something at the end, very important. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way. Why is it important to learn something like that? Can anybody tell me? Maybe this is the kind of question that you really know the answer to, but it's just kind of hidden. I think the more you learn about what that verse means, the more you can treasure those words of the Lord Jesus, and you can think back on them so you remember it when you're older, and you can enjoy them. Why don't we just ask the Lord's help?